Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come before you in Christ and give you thanks for this day and this time of study. Thank you, Lord, for the food that you've given to us. We thank you for blessing us with the meal. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us as we continue our fellowship together, as we discuss this very important topic of disciplining our children. We learn much from your word and be built up and encouraged by it. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is our theme verse. Today I want to be talking about corporal punishment, okay? Last week we talked about education of our children, and that
boring topic. Nobody had anything to say about it.
Yeah, that was a very, we had good discussions, put it that way. 6:4, here's the word of God. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. So today we're going to look at what the Bible teaches regarding child discipline or physical discipline of our children. And again, I'm not going to give you a 21-step program or some kind of scheme or anything like that. But I want to highlight biblical principles to guide you into the proper biblical teaching on how God wants us to discipline our children. And I recognize that, you know, today's environment here in the United States, even in our church, in American culture, you know, not too fond of corporal punishment. There's parts of the church that you have people even teaching against it, okay? That we shouldn't physically discipline our children. Now, why do you think, now I'm going to get your interaction, why do you think that the church today, in some parts of it, are against corporal punishment of children? What do you think?
Because they're taking advantage, or like they take it too far.
Take it too far? Okay. Good.
I mean, there's a whole, you know, the illegal nature of child abuse. So they just don't want, maybe just don't want parents to cross that line by accident.
Okay, good.
The influence of the world.
Influence of the world, yeah.
Courts,
yeah.
A lot of them just don't believe it's actually effective.
A lot of people don't think it's actually effective. Good. Good. All right. Any other thoughts? Okay. So everything you guys said is spot on. Those are many of the reasons why corporal punishment is, you know, not promoted in churches or even dissuaded, you know, by people preaching and teaching against it. You know, there's also another reason. People say that when you inflict corporal punishment on a child, you're teaching them violence, and then they grow up to be violent, okay? So that's another aspect, you know? You're disciplined with violence, so they're gonna become violent, okay? So there's people that think that. I take off my glasses. Give me a headache. All right, now, but look at our text. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And as we go through this study, I want you to think about this. That we as fathers and mothers are not to provoke our children to wrath. And you know, you can provoke your child to wrath by withholding corporal punishment. I want you to think about that too. Okay? Now, the Bible does teach us that we are to discipline our children. That's inescapable. And so if the Bible teaches that we are to discipline our children, to go with what Nathan said, that must mean that it does work. That it is effective. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. And if the Bible teaches it, God's teaching it, which means it's a good thing. Right? You can't say, well, it's been proven it's not effective. Well, maybe because of the manner people were using discipline of their children was ineffective. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Don't abuse the baby this way. It's effective because the Bible says it is. Okay, so we want to look at that. So the Bible does teach that we are to engage in constructive discipline of our children, which also includes spanking, corporal punishment. The Bible teaches it. Okay? And again, if the Bible teaches corporal punishment or spanking, that must mean it is effective. Okay? So the first step in the discipline of our children, when I say discipline of our children, I don't just mean corporal punishment. I also mean verbal discipline, okay? I'm using both. And I'll make a distinction when I have to, okay? So the first step to recognize when you're going to discipline your child is to take into account the child's age and the level of understanding, which doesn't always correlate, okay? Some children, their development, mental development is a lot slower than others, and therefore you've got to take that into account when you're going to discipline your child, okay? So, for example, when your one-year-old child is up to mischief, you're not going to sit him down and give him a long lecture on why he's doing is wrong, and then tell him the merits of what of doing things right. You're not going to get into this philosophical discussion, the pros and cons of doing bad things and doing good things, because your one-year-old is not going to understand you, right? You use short sentences and indicate the action that he did as being wrong or bad, and then give them a stern warning not to do it again. So you instruct them this way. The first thing isn't, you know, he does something, he breaks something, the first time he's ever broke something, and you're just going to spank him right away. You want to instruct first. You want to instruct. You tell them no, you know. You instruct them. And as you instruct, they will eventually begin to catch on. Okay? They will eventually catch on. So, the first lesson we learn from the Word of God, right from Proverbs chapter 1, is that a parent who's wise will encourage the child to behave properly. So, Ryan, Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, Andy, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. So, Ryan first. Let me get there. And we're going to be in Proverbs. I'm going to call on everybody. So you might as well open up your Bible to Proverbs.
Yeah. Is 1, 8, and 9?
Yep. Loud.
My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck.
Okay. Yeah. 4, 7, and 8.
Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her.
Good. So, first step is, again, you instruct your child in the paths and the ways of wisdom. You give them instruction. You tell them what's good, what's wrong, what's bad, what is moral, what is immoral, depending again on their age and their level of understanding. As they grow, as they gain more and more understanding, you increase your instruction. You tell them more and more so that they can become more and more wise, so they will be able to discern what is wrong and what is right. Okay? So you begin with verbal discipline. And yeah, when they're 1 year old, again, you're not going to talk about, you know, a lot. You're going to say, don't do this, and you instruct them. If he does it again, then you increase the level of discipline. And maybe you take something away from them that they're enjoying. Or you have to resort to corporal punishment. Okay? And we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, As I say, you teach what is improper behavior. You tell them what's improper behavior so they know what is wrong. You can't expect them to know what is wrong without you instructing them on what is wrong. That there will be consequences of what they're doing as being wrong. Okay? We already know our children are sinners. We don't have to teach them to lie to know when they're lying to us. Okay? And then you instruct them. When they do that, you point it out. You know you're lying to me. That's bad. That's a bad thing. And there are consequences. And so you part of the discipline, then the verbal discipline, is to not only just tell them that it's bad, but to let them know there are consequences for doing what is bad. You can't just say it's bad without the consequence. You read throughout the scriptures, how many times did God say to Israel, don't do this, because if you do, here are the consequences. We read it in Leviticus 26. And those consequences are corporal in nature. So how much more then towards our children, right? Okay, Joe, Proverbs 1, 10 through 15. Phil, can you do Proverbs 1, 18 and 19? Joe, when you're ready.
My son, if sinners entice thee, you consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Casting thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path.
Okay. And Phil?
But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its pursuit.
Good. So what is the proverb saying there? They're instructing the child, look, the way of sinners is blood, is bloodshed. It is they're lying in wait. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. And what does he tell them? Don't do this, right? He's instructing them, don't follow after them. And as your children start to approach the teenage years, right, this will become more and more necessary, depending on your environment. You know, there's many parents who have children in public school, and one of the greatest fears among minorities is that their child falling with the gangs, right? And they tell them, don't fall in the gangs, they're violent, they do this and they do that. And they instruct them, don't do it, right? And so even the unbelievers know as much. Don't follow the path of those who seek to shed blood. Our own city is reeling from an incident surrounding this recently, where one child was beat to death by his classmates, right? This is real stuff, it happens. And so we are to instruct our children, don't follow that path, okay? And may not rise to that level, but think about it. How many times do, you know, when you have more than one child, how many times do you find them hitting each other? Right? You need to, I mean, that's, you know, if that's not restrained, when they get older, it will lead to bloodshed, or it's very likely to do so. So you instruct them, don't do this, don't do this. You try to, you know, pull the reins back on that and let them know there are consequences to that. Okay? Let's see. Who wants Proverbs 5? Raise your hand. Proverbs 5, 3 and 6. 3 through 6. Carol?
Is that King James' time?
That's fine.
I thought you were talking. 3 through 6.
Yeah.
For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell.
So, of course, instructing your children. Most of our children are too young for that kind of instruction. But parents, you need to bear this in mind. Look, most of our kids that were born last year are already 1 year old. Time flies, right? Those of us who have older children, we know right? How fast they grow. When do you begin to impart this kind of instruction and discipline to stay away from a strange woman? Okay? Parents, you know what I mean. Okay? You need to think about how we're going to instruct our children. Now, some of the response by some Christians is, well, I'm just going to keep them isolated. You know, homeschool and put them in a bubble and not expose them to any of those things. They're not going to watch movies, TV, internet, none of that. You're not being realistic. You're not being real. Okay? Your child eventually is going to grow up. It's going to need to leave the house. That is not proper discipline. To be overprotective and sheltering our child is not proper biblical discipline. If you put your child in a bubble, you're not preparing them for real life. Don't shelter your child, because that will come back and burn you. It'll come back. You'll be harming your child. Instead, you need to prepare them to deal with the real world. And Proverbs 5, 3 through 6 is such an instruction. Because as your son approaches young adulthood and certain changes happen and certain emotions are starting to be riled up and you're not instructing them, and you're not instructing them as per Proverbs 5, 3 through 6, sinful consequences will befall him. So you need to be aware of this, to teach your child of these things. And this is part of discipline. This is part of disciplining your child by instructing them. In family worship, you're to ensure that you're reminding them constantly of these truths and paths of wisdom. You know, preventative measures. Don't be reactive. Be proactive. Okay? You don't take your car to the shop when it's broken. You know, the engine just blew up. Well, I need to change the oil. Well, it's too late now. Change the oil constantly, and your engine keep running. Well, in family worship, you should be disciplining your children verbally. And it's not always negative. It's not always, son, daughter, you know, wagging a finger. It's instructing them. As you're growing, these things happen. And you need to warn you about these things. Okay? Think about it. How many of you who have older parents, they're lucid right now, right? They think. They can discern right from wrong. What's going to happen when your parent begins to lose the faculty, becomes to set on with dementia and all that, and they get a phone call? And the phone call is, hey, I hear you're on Medicare, whatever it is. We got a good plan for you. We just need your social security number, your date of birth, and your bank account number so we can give you better health care. What's going to happen to that person, to your parent, if they get such a phone call? They can get swindled, because it happens all the time. So you need to prepare for that. Right? Likewise, you need to prepare your children for when they confront the real world. Keeping them in a bubble and sheltering them is a disservice to your child. And it's not biblical discipline. Okay? Now, when your child is young and they repeat an action which you told them not to do because it's wrong, and you've instructed them and you've warned them of the consequence. See, that's the key. You instruct your child, you warn them of the consequence. And if they repeat it, then you employ the consequence. But if you warn a child not to do something, and you tell them of the consequence, and then they do it, and you don't carry out the consequence, you've undermined your own authority. Okay? Don't say to a child, well, if you don't stop, I'm going to put you in timeout. And then they do it, and you don't do that. And they keep doing it. You keep saying, I'm going to threaten you. And you keep threatening them. You're going to do it. But don't do it. You undermine your own authority. And your child will run over you as you grow up. It's going to happen. If you threaten a consequence to your child, you got to carry it out the first time. Not the second or third. I want to give you another chance. Give me another chance. Don't let me tell you again. You got to do it. Whether it's putting them in the, sitting them in the corner, making them, you know, do the horse stance like this. Okay, I don't know. Some of you guys may know what that is. All right? It happened to me, okay? Latinos, happened to us. You know, they're very inventive. So, or if it's going to be, you know, a switch, belt, wooden spoon, whatever it is, whatever the consequence of their lack of discipline is, you got to carry it out. You got to do it. And it's for their good. Okay? Now, if you do inflict corporal punishment, never do it in anger. Never do it in anger. Because there's a danger that when you're inflicting corporal punishment in anger, you will overdo it. And Ephesians 6:4 tells us, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And if you overdo it, your child will know it. And they will resent you. What is the purpose of discipline? What's the purpose of discipline?
Correction.
Correction? Good. What else?
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Good. Anything else?
Instruction.
Huh?
Instruction.
Instruction. Good.
And bad behavior.
Okay, good. Let me put it a different way. We read in Leviticus 26, and God warns Israel, if you do these things, I'm going to strike you down. And does he leave it like that? How did Leviticus 26 end?
Well, he promised that, you know, that because God was in covenant with them, that he will save them and bring them back.
Okay. Repent. And Romans 11, the doctrine in Romans 11 is known as what? The what of Israel? The what? It starts with R. Restoration. Discipline, one of the goals of discipline is restoration. Okay? It is correction in that sense. Discipline, just for the sake of discipline, of spanking somebody or your child or just hitting them, is not going to be productive. It's not going to work. And it's going to go right to what Nathan said earlier. It doesn't work. If you're just going to beat the child for the sake of beating the child because he got on your nerves, and it's not for the purpose of correction, of everything you guys just said, correction, instruction, building up, and restoring them, the discipline you're inflicting is going to provoke them to wrath. And they will turn from you. They will turn from you. Okay? All right. Any thoughts so far? Any questions? Anything I've said is unclear? You want me to clarify some more? No? All right. Now, corporal punishment, corporal discipline, again, should never be done in a harsh manner, shouldn't be done out of anger. If you feel rage against your child for what they've done, you need to step away from the situation. So if you're the father, maybe the mother does it. If you're the mother, maybe the father does it. Right? But you step away from the situation. Yeah, you want to correct the child as soon as possible. But sometimes, if you're enraged, you need to step away from the situation for the good of your relationship with your child. Okay? To avoid what some of you said, abuse of the child. Okay? We're not to injure our child when we're inflicting corporal punishment. The goal of corporal punishment is not to leave welts and bruises on them. It's definitely not to break bones. Definitely not. Because that is wicked. That is sinful. Okay? Now, the scripture teaches that when we do when we do have to pursue corporal punishment, the scripture teaches that we are to use an object instead of our hands. Okay? So, Ramon, can you read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12? And then James 24, chapter 24, verses 24 through 25. Ramon, when you're ready.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights.
Okay.
Delighteth.
Thank you. James?
He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and good blessing shall come upon them.
Is that chapter 24?
Yes.
Verse 24 and 25?
Yes.
Okay.
I read 24 and 25.
Cool. Thank you. All right. So in these passages, we are being told that the father is to what? Discipline the child, right? To correct the child. Why? Because the father what? Loves the child, right? We correct because we love. Okay, so when you're disciplining your child, it should be out of love. This is why when you're enraged, you need to step away. You need to step away and then come back. When you're calmed down, but you still need to discipline the child because you love him or her. Okay? All right, so... don't want to repeat too much here. Let me see. Juana, can you read Proverbs 20, verse 30? And then Nathan, Proverbs 10, verse 31. Yeah.
The blueness of a wound clean away in gold, so deep stripes the inward parts of the body.
Okay, so the bruising and the stripes, right? That means corporal punishment was inflicted on that person. And the purpose is to drive out evil, to correct what they have done that's evil. Again, the scriptures are telling us that it is effective. If it's done properly, if it's done according as what the Bible teaches, as these verses are clearly making it out to be. They are effective if you do it the right way, the biblical way. Out of love, not out of rage. A desire to instruct, to impart wisdom to your child so they don't go astray. Throughout the Proverbs, it speaks about corporal punishment and the good effects of corporal punishment. But it's always couched in the parents doing it out of love, for the child's well-being, so that they don't go astray. Okay, Nathan?
10:31.
Yep.
The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out.
Okay. So when you're correcting your child, again, this goes what Ephesians 6:4 says, what he just read from Proverbs 10:31. Watch your language with your child. Again, if you're angry and you're going to verbally chastise your child, measure your words. Don't just go off on them. You know, you hear a lot of unbelieving parents just cussing out their child, cussing them out, dropping the bombs on them and everything. And what does Proverbs 10:31 say? It's wrathful. It provokes. It's wicked. We're not to do that. We're not to diminish our children when they've done something wrong. You're not to insult them. Okay? That's common for parents to do. You stupid kid, you know, don't do things like that, right? Provokes your child to wrath. You correct and say, look, son, what you did was wrong. That was foolish what you did. But not calling him, insulting him. Okay? So we gotta be careful. There's a fine line, there's a distinction there. And so when you're going to spank them, you don't say, I'm gonna beat the hell out of you, you know, kind of thing. Like literally. You don't say that. Right? That's not biblical. Watch your words with your child. Okay? So you're to apply the appropriate level of force to your child so that it stings but doesn't harm or injure your child. You guys know the difference between spanking a child so it stings and spanking a child so they bruise? There's a difference.
Back of the hand versus, like, what part of the hand you're using? Or
no, just the distinction between when you spank a child and it stings versus spanking a child and leaves welts and bruising.
Well, what's in bruising? That's like abuse. You know?
Abuse,
yeah,
right.
So.
Right. So one will sting, the other more abusive, right? You don't want to abuse your child. Okay.
One is a momentary correction for the immediate behavior, and the other one is lasting well beyond the wrong that,
right,
that necessitated.
Yep. Good. Good. Let me see.
The sting should be like a self, like the parent would have to use self-control in the force that they're using upon their child.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Never use all your might.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, Colin, can you read Proverbs 13:24? And as he reads it, I want you guys to listen to what is being used here.
He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes.
All the time.
Baby!
That's King James for all the time. So, what is he using? What is the child? What is the parent using there to chastise his child?
A rod.
A rod. Is he using his hand?
No.
No. When you discipline your child, don't use your hand. You should never come into skin-to-skin contact in an act of corporal punishment. The scripture never demonstrates that as an effective use of discipline. It should be a rod. Okay? It should be a belt, a wooden spoon, a switch, something to that effect that won't leave a lasting, you know, injuries. You can use a belt or a switch and lower the amount of force behind that swing will still sting but not leave lasting bruises. Okay? But the Bible teaches using the rod, which means it's effective. Because the Bible says so. What does Psalm 23 say about our shepherd? What does a shepherd do? What does he use with the sheep?
Staff
and what? And rod. What is the staff for?
Leading them.
Leading them. What's the rod for?
Discipline.
Yeah, spanking them, getting them out of the danger, and protecting them from wolves. Right? So shepherds use a rod and a staff. And we as parents are shepherds to our children. We are to use a rod and a staff. And a rod when it's appropriate. Okay? So we are to use discipline, but we should use an intermediary instrument, not our hands. Our hands should be there for their comfort, for their healing when we're applying, you know, Neosporin on a bruise or cut or a wound, right? It's for affection, but not for punishment, okay? We should use a rod, a spoon, a wooden spoon or a belt or, you know, your slipper, okay? Something like that, okay? And we are to be careful where we inflict the corporal punishment. You know, hitting them on the hand, if you're going to do that, you have to use very minimal force because the hand is sensitive. You can burst some blood vessels. You got to be careful. It is better to use, you know, hit them in the butt, right? I mean, it's cushioned for a reason, right? You, that's where, you know, usually that's where you inflict the punishment. But when you spank with an instrument, right, it is to instruct and teach them the consequences of sinful disobedient behavior, which means you're going to tell them, don't do this, because if you do, this is the consequence. And depending on the level of disobedience, will determine whether they need to be spanked or not. Okay? Now, Joe, read Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14. And read it loud.
Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell.
Okay. All right, so King James says, beat your child. Okay. Back then it had a different connotation than today. In today's society, beating a child is abuse, child abuse, right? We don't beat our children, okay? We spank them. There's a real big difference, right? If you were to go to your pediatric and tell them, yeah, I beat my child, automatically flags are going up, right? Yeah. Calling child protection services on you, right? No, we spank our children. There's a difference, all right? Now, when the way it's translated in King James, it had a different connotation back then, okay? But you don't beat to injure. That is not the idea here, okay? You don't beat to injure. You're spanking them to correct them. Let it sting, okay? So what happens when you don't engage in corporal punishment? What if you believe that corporal punishment is always wrong? What's going to happen to that child?
Go to hell.
Go to hell. Why do you say that? That's pretty rough.
It says right here.
Oh, it says in the Bible. Wow. Wow. Imagine that. Yeah. If you withhold correction, corporal punishment from your child, you're condemning your child. You are condemning your child. He will be a menace. He's going to run all over you. And he's not going to respect you. How often do we hear unbelievers here in the United States say, man, you know, when you hear in the news that some kids did this and that. And what do they say? What do unbelievers always say? That kid needed a what when he was growing up?
A whooping.
A whooping. Right. Unbelievers don't get it. Unbelievers understand. This is a universal truth here. This is a universal truth. They need a whooping, right? We see it. What's the main driving factor for the lack of discipline of children in public schools? What do you think? Yeah, what's the main driving factor for children? They're always causing trouble in public schools.
The authorities don't have that much authority.
Right. And because who's the first person that began to renege that authority in that child's life?
Their parents.
Their parents didn't corporally discipline them. And so they go to the school and they do whatever they want. And then you got even unbelievers saying, the problem with society today is that we're not whooping our children. You hear in the news all the time. You hear in media all the time. Oh man, when I was, you know, you talk to people in my generation, talk to people in Phil's generation, right? It's like, we all got whooped. And their generation, they didn't have the same problems we're having today. Because in our generation, corporal punishment is evil, it's bad, it's abusive, it's not effective, and everything else you guys said earlier. But the Bible says, withhold the rod and your child will go to hell. Which means what? Employ the rod to save your child. If you withhold the rod from your child, that is telling everyone you don't love your child. That's what the Bible says, not my words, not some, you know, integrated family life, parachurch and teaching from somebody. This is what the Bible says. Okay? Andy, read Proverbs 29:15.
The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Say that again loud. Oh, you closed.
The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, that's self-explanatory, right? The Bible itself, God himself is telling us, employ the rod or else the mother will be brought to shame. Unbelievers get it. But you got a growing chorus of Christians in the church saying, don't inflict corporal punishment on children. It's not effective. They're wrong. And they're false teachers when they say this. They're wrong. When we've looked at various Bible verses from the book of Proverbs that say the same thing over and over again. Employ the rod to correct your children. This does not mean you're going to beat them and injure them. You're going to inflict it so that it stings, but it's in a corrective manner. It is to restore them, to prevent them from sinning and going to hell. So that when they grow up, they're walking a straight path. So keep them straight. Imagine if God said, don't sin. But if you do, I'm just going to come down, wag my finger at you and say, stop it, don't do that, you should never have done that, da, 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 da. And there's no more consequence than that. God doesn't talk like that, does he? He chastises us physically, does that. Nathan, can you read Proverbs 19:18? 19:18, yes.
Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction.
Chasing your child while there is hope, meaning start when they're young, right? Start when they're young. So that when they grow up, they understand. By the time they're teenagers, you're not going to need to do this anymore. There will be more reasoning than actual spanking. And they'll understand. All right, so, again, purpose of corporal punishment should always be constructive, to impart wisdom, to teach proper behavior, never to just for the purpose of harming and injuring, because that is evil. And God himself in the New Testament teaches that we must do this. God himself teaches us in the New Testament that we are to use the rod as parents on our children. In the New Testament. Because, you know, you're always going to get that one Christian who will say, well, everything you just quoted is from Proverbs is the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Okay, if you want to play that game, we can play that game. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and I'll end it here because we're over time. Hebrews chapter 12. And listen to everything we just read in the Proverbs is found right here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation, reflecting back to Proverbs 1. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Scourging is corporal punishment. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The Lord chastens whom he loves. Parents, you chasten your children because you love them. This is what the Bible teaches. So meditate on these passages and, you know, find ways how to employ this in a biblical manner without anger, without wrath. And remember, when you discipline your child, it is to help to impart wisdom, to teach them the right way, and not just for the purpose of hitting them. Okay? Any closing thoughts, questions? We'll end here.